thank you for tuning in and listening to this week's message of hope on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our senior pastor, Dave Yonker, continues our Case of the Monday sermon series with scripture from James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Stay tuned after the message for special music and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
We pause in the midst of worship today to offer our hearts and minds, our whole being over to God in a moment of prayer in this quiet time here. And as we do so, we remember the people in our circle of friendship and those in our church family who need God's grace and peace and love and prayers today. Our prayers continue for our search committee as they continue the journey looking for a new associate pastor. We remember the family and friends of our good friend and church member Paul Meese, who passed away this past week at the Care Center in Mediapolis. We also remember Peggy Stott at the passing of her father late this past week as well. So we give God all of these prayers and concerns. We lift our whole being over to God now in prayer. In that spirit, let us pray. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How wonderful and amazing you are above all the things that we see around us. You have created all life. Everything that we see as good, the stars in the sky, the fields and the trees, the crops and the animals, everything that we see and enjoy, you have created and you call good. And even more so amazing than that, O God, is that you love us. You have created us and care for us and call us your own. Though you are beyond all comprehension, O God, you know us and you love us. And for this amazing grace, we give you thanks. As we gather for worship here this morning, we pray that you might open our eyes anew so that we might catch a glimpse of your grace here and now. We have known you in the past, and we think that we have a handle on where to find you. But the good news of our faith tells us that you are continually offering us new life and speaking to us in new ways. Like a new song that soon becomes a familiar old one, you speak to us in words of love and hope, and you invite us to follow in your ways. And so we pray that we might be open to your leading and your love here today. Help us to align our lives to you so that our actions and our words may be a reflection of Christ's love. Open our eyes to see those around us in need. Give us a glimpse of your mercy so that we can lift up those who have been tossed aside. We can carry those who feel like they cannot go any further. We ask, O God, your blessing upon those in our family of faith that who need your grace and care this morning. We pray for those who struggle to make ends meet, who must choose every day between food and medicine. We pray for those who struggle to make it through each day, because they cannot bear the weight of stress that faces them each morning. We pray for those who feel like they're at the end of their rope. They have exhausted every opportunity and avenue. And so bless us all, O God, for we are your people of faith, your disciples of Christ and people of your way. Hear us and answer us, O God, for we offer these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we join our voices together now by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by, a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures in the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're continuing here today with our Case of the Mondays sermon series. We find ourselves here in week 3. In this series, we're talking about how there are times when we would just rather stay at home than actually go to work. There are days when we would rather not go to school. We would rather stay at home in bed and watch movies and binge watch hours of shows on Netflix, not doing anything at all, certainly not having to worry about any bit of responsibility in our life, any relationships with coworkers or people or anyone that we come in contact with. And so as we have been saying, there are days when we come down with a huge case of the Mondays. There are days when we go to work and we just feel like, ugh, all over, every little bit of us. It's the last thing that we want to do to be there. That's why over the past couple of weeks we've been reading through the book of James together in this month, and we've gone back to school and gone back to work. After summer vacations, after sleeping late, after enjoying lovely sunsets in the evenings, watching the fireflies dance around in the yard, doing all kinds of things, all that has come to a close for the season. And so in this book, we're called to put our faith into practice in our life, in our relationships. And so up to this point, we've talked about how we're called to be a doer of the Word of God, not just somebody who hears God's Word, but actually does God's Word. Along with us, we've been called to love our neighbor as ourself, not to earn tickets or points with God so that we can spend them later, but simply love our neighbors as ourself, because that is the life that Jesus calls us to live. That's what we've been about over the past couple of weeks. And up to this point, maybe you've noticed that there has been this theme about how we are to treat each other, about how actions speak louder than words, as that old saying goes, that we should do the Word of God. That's what we've been about over the first couple of weeks. But now here in week 3, James is cutting close to home. Because now, instead of changing how we act and how we live, James is calling us to pay attention to what we say, because as James says, words have power. What we say matters, according to the scriptures. Now, everybody has a favorite movie in their life that they have seen so many times, that you've seen it so often that you know the words by heart. You know the plot and where it is going every single time. Movies that whenever you're sitting on the couch on a Friday night and you're flipping through the channels and you see this movie come on, you automatically stop. No matter where it is in the movie, no matter what's going on in the plot, you stop. Even though you've seen it 6,000 times, 1 million times, you stop and you watch it again. And you find yourself a little bit surprised that it ends the same way every single time, even though you've always seen it. Everybody has their list of favorite movies. Well, in our family, one of our favorites is the 1998 classic, You've Got Mail. This movie is 100% chick flick. It is romantic comedy. It is my favorite genre of all the movies. It is happy and it is light. It is my favorite. And so in this movie, if you've never seen it, Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks, it is wonderful. Next time it's on, because it's on like every single week, you should stop and you should watch it. And I don't want to ruin the whole plot and like give it all away, but at the end, they're going to fall in love. Just so you know, they're going to fall in love. It's a romantic comedy, after all. And so I was thinking about this movie this past week because there is this scene when Meg Ryan obviously does not like Tom Hanks. He makes her so angry. She has to change her whole entire life because of what he does and who he is. And simply the thought of him infuriates her. And so one day, whenever she sees him, she says exactly what is on her mind. She lays into him. She tells him what she thinks about him. And none of it is nice. All of it is mean. And so she says what she's thinking about, and she lets it fly about what a jerk he is. And as soon as she says it, the camera kind of pans in, and you can see it on her face that she immediately regrets what she said, on how she called him a jerk, because she says she couldn't take the words back. They were already there. The words and the anger and the frustration had been building so much, she felt like she needed to let them fly, and when she did, they were out there forever. This is what it's like. This is what it is like, James is saying. Words have power and words matter because as easily as they can be used to build someone up, they can be used to cut someone down. We heard it in the reading from the scriptures today. We heard about how James compares the tongue to a bridle on a horse. That it has the power to control the whole horse, to keep the whole body in check. It has the power to make the horse go like it's racing in the Kentucky Derby. It has the power to make the horse stop when it comes to the end. He compares it even to like a small rudder on a ship that even though the tongue, he says, is very small, it has the power to guide and direct huge ships, even those massive luxury liners that carry hundreds of people on cruises all around the world. They are guided, he says, by the small rudder. It even has the power, he says, to give a small little flicker and a flame that soon the whole forest goes burning down. The whole place goes up in flames. Words and sentences have that kind of power, he says. I mean, how often have we been like Meg Ryan in You've Got Mail and we've said things out of frustration and out of anger only to realize that our words have gotten the best of us and we should have kept some of them to ourselves? I mean, how often do we get caught up in gossip and cut people down only to later regret it and actually never going to the source to see if what we're saying is actually correct? Passing on words like, you're never going to believe what I just heard, when the words are already out there. What we say makes a difference, and it reflects what is on our heart, especially as Christians, as people who want the love of God and the light of Christ to show forth in everything that we say and do. You see, there once was this time. Maybe you've heard this story before. Jesus and the disciples were walking down the road. And we don't know what kind of road it was like, but in my mind, it seemed to be like a little narrow path. And the story says they were passing through some small towns in those little tiny places up in the northern parts of Israel. And Jesus had been teaching and he had been preaching there. And so while Jesus and the disciples were kind of walking along on this path, they were talking about where they had seen the presence of God moving in their life. And as they're walking down the road, Jesus stops the disciples. Peter, James, and John are there with him, and Jesus wonders, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? He had been at his job for a while. His name had been getting around town. He had been getting pretty famous as the months and the years had gone by. And so he wanted to know, what do people say about me? What do they think about me? Who do they say I actually am? And so in the scene, we've heard it before, the disciples kind of hem and haw, and they say, well, some people think that maybe you're John the Baptist, like resurrected again, back here in the flesh. Other people have thought, well, maybe you're that Old Testament prophet Elijah, that old guy from that book of 1 Kings, the old guy who rode up into heaven on that fiery chariot, who all the prophets said he would come back to earth again. Maybe you are him, Elijah in the flesh. They batted some more ideas around. They said, well, maybe you're one of the prophets, maybe even somebody else. And as they're picking their brain, trying to think about what everyone else has said about Jesus, he stops them and says, who do you say that I am? What do my words give away about me? And so Peter in the story, that one disciple who was more often than not to, if he thought it, he might as well go ahead and say it, who more often than not sometimes gets his foot stuck in his mouth, steps up and says, you are the Messiah. You are Jesus the Christ. He is the Son of God, not just in his actions, not just in the ways that he treats people and all the ways that he heals them and all the ways that he in fact loves them. But he says, in the words that you say, in the teaching that you give, it reflects what is on your heart, and that you are the Christ. And this is it for us. As we do our best to live the Christian life, if people were to wonder, who are we? What do our words give away about us? Do our words reflect who we are and how we live and what we say we value? Do they reflect the presence of Christ living in our life today? Because as that old saying says, we are the only Bible that some people will ever read. And even more so, we are the only Bible that some people will ever, in fact, hear. And so James says, like a rudder is a guide for where we go, like a bridle that directs the horse that can set the whole entire forest on fire, when words of frustration are tossed, we can't get them back. But that's why God gives us grace. That's why God gives us love and fills us with His Spirit, so that our words and lives can be filled with messages of love and grace, hope and encouragement, well-being and kindness. Sentences that are full of things like, I'm sorry. Things like, I forgive you. I love you too. And I'm praying for you every single day. For we want to live our lives as a blessing from God, so that our words can reflect the light of Christ alive in all that we do. May it be so today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a new church home, or searching for something beyond yourself, we hope you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We offer two styles of worship each Sunday. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m., featuring beloved hymns of the faith. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 a.m. and is led by our amazing band. In both services, you'll hear a sermon similar to the one you listened to today on the radio. Be welcomed at the Lord's table for communion and join with us in prayer and praise. During the summer, children's church is offered at our 10:45 service. There's no better way to begin our week in worship, so we hope you will join us here at First Christian Church.
Oh, my God. Thank you.